Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 17th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The risk asset rally fades as U.S. futures fall, oil slides, and the yen strengthens.
U.S.-China tensions rise after Huawei comes under scrutiny from U.S. authorities.
Theresa May begins the search for a compromise on Brexit.
And we say farewell to a finance industry icon.
The House passed bills to end the government shutdown, but it has little Republican support. Plus, federal workers are tapping into retirement accounts to make ends meet. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower. It's 4-2, a wild win for the Nets. Big comeback to win in overtime in Houston. After two losses, St. John's with a Big East win over Creighton.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The rally in risk assets appears to be fading this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down about 7 points this morning. Dow futures down 47. NASDAQ futures down 23. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd yield 2.71%. The yield on the 2-year 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 58 cents to $51.73 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $12.93.80 an ounce. The euro $1.1398 and the yen at 108.82. Nathan.
Karen, weighing on sentiment this morning, relations between the U.S. and China. Bloomberg News has learned U.S. authorities have launched an investigation into Chinese tech giant Huawei. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel reports from Hong Kong.
The U.S. federal prosecutors are indeed pursuing a criminal investigation for allegedly stealing trade secrets from U.S. business partners. The probe includes technology by T-Mobile. The investigation is in its advanced state, and that could lead to an indictment very soon.
The probe comes after Canadian authorities arrested Huawei's chief financial officer last month at the request of U.S. authorities.
The investigation weighed on stocks in Asia today, despite positive signs for the next round of U.S.-China trade talks. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from Singapore.
On the bell in China came news that Vice Premier Liu He would attend trade talks in the U.S., and you would think this would be market sentiment positive, but sellers had already moved in towards the close, sending the CSI 300 lower by 0.6%. A stronger yen weighed on the Nikkei, which closed down 0.2% in Tokyo, but the broader topics index closed higher. Taiwan's TAIEX rose 0.3% as TSMC shares gained despite its margin guidance missing estimates in the fourth quarter and its revenue outlook disappointing as iPhone demand lags. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Juliet, that lagging iPhone demand is also weighing on Apple's workforce, with sources telling Bloomberg Apple will cut back on hiring. Mark Gurman has more on that from the Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
It's unclear which divisions are going to be impacted. We know the artificial intelligence, according to Cook, is not going to be impacted. That's a big growing area for Apple at this point, but perhaps in their software engineering divisions or other divisions like special projects where they have people working on so many things already, they don't need any additional people at this point. It's unclear how short-lived this is going to be as well.
Well, Apple is cutting back on hiring. CEO Tim Cook says the company will avoid a complete hiring freeze.
We turn to the UK now, and Prime Minister Theresa May surviving a no-confidence vote. Now she must search for a compromise on Brexit.
Now MPs have made clear what they don't want. We must all work constructively together to set out what Parliament does want.
Some rival party leaders are pushing for a delay to Brexit and even a second referendum, Labour Party member Richard Bergen.
I think that an extension of Article 50 is fairly likely to happen, and if it does, it's because of the fact that the government has wasted 2.5 years negotiating with its own benches.
Still, the pound remains steady. It's trading at $1.2878.
Back here in the U.S., calls for an impending recession are cropping up again. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nate. Torsten Slok, Deutsche Bank's chief international economist, says a combination of the China trade war and government shutdown could be enough to tip the U.S. economy into recession this year.
If the government shutdown continues, it could cause a recession. I mean, you could call it a technical recession, but we're getting a lot of incoming questions about how do you quantify this risk.
There's a similarly cautious tone from HSBC senior economic advisor Stephen King, who says U.S. recession risk is greater than normal. Rabobank says the plunge in the U.S. 12-month 10-year spread indicates a 69% chance of a recession by May of 2020. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. We get a different view of the economy today from Charles Evans. The Chicago Fed president sits down for a conversation on Bloomberg radio and television. You can catch it at 4 p.m. Wall Street time.
And also in the 4 p.m. hour, we get a reading on big tech when Netflix reports fourth quarter results. Bloomberg's Greg Jarrett has that story.
Two analysts boosted their rating on Netflix in the past week, predicting robust subscriber growth from hits like the Sandra Bullock film Bird Box. Still, it is a polarizing company. Despite outperforming all large-cap tech stocks last year, Netflix has a smaller share of buy ratings than Amazon, Alphabet, and Facebook. On Tuesday, Netflix raised its U.S. prices for the first time since 2017. In San Francisco, I'm Greg Jarrett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Greg. And finally, we say farewell to a finance industry icon, John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard, has died of cancer at the age of 89. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
John Bogle, he'd suggest you call him Jack, was an advocate of the average investor.
The small guy investing on his own is, I think, playing a fool's game.
He proselytized on behalf of patient long-term investing in a diversified group of well-run companies, counseling in his little book of common sense investing, don't do something, just stand there. And he'd later concede even he never figured how popular low-cost index-based mutual funds would turn out to be.
I was too stupid to realize that if we gave investors the best deal they would ever get, I'd be building a colossus.
He suffered the first of at least six heart attacks at age 31. In 1967, he had a pacemaker installed, and in 1996, he received a heart transplant. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Bob, thank you. And again, John Bogle was 89 years old. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 8 points this morning. Dow futures down 63. NASDAQ futures down 26. Again, S&P futures down 8. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 607 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The House passed the latest in a series of bills to end the partial government shutdown, but it has little Republican support. The measure would provide $12.1 billion in disaster aid and reopen the 9 shuttered federal departments and dozens of agencies through February 8th. But it does not include the money President Trump is seeking for a border wall. Meanwhile, we're learning a growing number of federal workers caught up in the shutdown have been tapping into their retirement funds to make ends meet. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is a sign of how the government shutdown is squeezing day-to-day finances. Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board data show a 34% jump in the number of hardship withdrawals in the 2.5 weeks after Christmas when compared to the same period last year. The data goes through January 14th, the first weekday after many federal employees miss paychecks. The outflows mostly come from investments run by BlackRock, the sole manager for 4 of the Thrift Savings Plan's 5 individual funds. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
More than 1 million government contractors are also cutting back on spending. The White House doubled its estimate of the cost of the shutdown on the economy, saying it hadn't been counting the effects on contractors. The Pentagon says a suicide bomber in Syria has claimed the lives of 2 U.S. troops and 2 American civilians. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the killings. 3 service members were also injured in the bombing. Patrick Shanahan, acting Secretary of State, says they are reaching out to families of those injured and killed.
Our fight against terrorism is ongoing, and we will remain vigilant and committed to its destruction.
Last month, President Trump announced U.S. troops would begin to withdraw from Syria after saying ISIS had been defeated in the region. It might be a slick start to tomorrow morning's commute. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn reports.
Michael, we have a very weak storm system headed towards the tri-state area. It's going to cause snow to develop just after midnight. It'll fall through early tomorrow morning, and I think we're probably going to see accumulations under an inch across the tri-state area. Actually, the precipitation looks like it's going to mix with and change to a little bit of light rain tomorrow morning before it ends. Temperatures near 40, but it certainly looks like it could cause a few problems for tomorrow morning's commute, especially the front end of it when we're still dealing with light snow, say between about 5 a.m. and 6:30 a.m. Michael?
And this weekend, another system has the chance to dump more snow starting Saturday night. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up on 610 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashar.
Nathan, what a win for the Nets in Houston. They trailed by 17 in the fourth quarter, but they put up 46 fourth-quarter points. Spencer Dinwiddie led them back. He tied the game with a three-pointer, and then he struck again in overtime.
Nets down two with the ball. 36 seconds to go. Big offensive rebound for Graham. Now Dinwiddie out high on the right. Dinwiddie driving it in the paint. Bump, shoot, scores, and a foul is called. Dinwiddie will go to the line with a chance at a three-point play. The free throw is good, and the Nets take the lead, an 8-0 run.
Chris Carino, Nets Radio, Brooklyn, 145, Houston, 142. Dinwiddie, 33 points, 25 coming in the fourth quarter in the OT. Jared Allen, a big night, 20 points, 24 rebounds. For Houston, James Harden went for 58. The Rockets took an NBA record 70. Three-point shots. The Warriors took 49 threes. Steph Curry made 9, scored 41. Golden State's sixth straight win, 147-140 over New Orleans. Showdown in the East, Boston beat Toronto 117-108 for Kyrie Irving, 27 points, 18 assists. At Conesecca Arena, St. John's ended a two-game losing streak, 81-66 over Creighton. Shamori Ponds had to sit out the last game he returned, went for 22. Longtime Met Wilmer Flores is signed with Arizona. At the Australian Open, Serena Williams playing now. She has won the first set with Jeannie Bouchard. Venus Williams has already finished her match. She won 6-love in the third. The top seed, Simona Halep, into the third set for the second straight match, but she advanced, and so did the reigning U.S. Open winner, Naomi Osaka. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John Stashower, thank you. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 60. NASDAQ futures down 25 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's nearly 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Netflix is set to deliver strong results after a robust programming lineup, including the smash hit Bird Box. That's according to Bloomberg Intelligence, which says subscriber metrics will probably be positive. Apple will scale back hiring after selling fewer iPhones than expected. Bloomberg News has learned CEO Tim Cook told staff about the recruitment slowdown earlier this month. US recession warnings are proliferating. Rabobank sees a 69% chance by May of 2020, while Deutsche Bank says the trade war and government shutdown may cause a contraction as soon as this year. And China confirms its chief negotiator will attend the next round of trade talks in Washington. Its top lawmaking body also fast-tracked approval of a bill to protect intellectual property of foreign investors and prevent forced technology transfers. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. And this headline, crossing the Bloomberg, sources telling Bloomberg that Societe Generale is considering closing its proprietary trading unit. Futures are lower. S&P futures down 8 points. Dow futures down 63. NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 2.71%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 57 cents to $51.74 a barrel. COMEX gold little change. unchanged at 12.94.20 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1401 and the yen 108.78. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Republican allies of President Donald Trump say House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's request that the president postpone his planned State of the Union address is nothing more than a political ploy. In a letter, Pelosi noted that the Secret Service and the Homeland Security Department are entangled in the ongoing partial government shutdown and suggested the president should address Congress another time. The Trump administration plans to roll out a new strategy for a more aggressive space-based missile defense system to protect against existing threats from North Korea and Iran and counter advanced weapon systems being developed by Russia and China. Strategy will be unveiled today at the Pentagon. In sports, in the NBA, the Nets won in overtime against the Rockets, 145-142. The Celtics and Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Bruins lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Good morning, 620 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Netflix reporting earnings after the close of regular trading today. What to expect? Well, joining us now, Geetha Raghunathan, the Bloomberg Industries Senior Industry Analyst. Good morning to you. Let's talk about, first off, the cost of content. How much does it cost to make a show with Sandra Bullock wearing a mask, by the way?
Good morning, John. Ballooning content costs has been, you know, a constant issue for Netflix investors. They probably spent about $12 to $13 billion in cash content costs in 2018, and will probably spend close to about $15 billion in 2019. But I think, having said that, we need to realize that for Netflix, the quality of their content has really been a true competitive differentiator, and so their whole investment thesis is predicated on having these high-quality original shows.
Okay, so the spend is going to increase this year. You can raise the subscription rate. How much pricing power is there really?
So I think, you know, just with a pretty aggressive price hike just a couple of days ago, around 13 to 18% on average, Netflix has certainly demonstrated that it has pricing power. And at the end of the day, if you look at it, it's still one of the cheapest streaming alternatives out there. So I think as long as they continue to invest in their content and add, you know, these high-quality shows, high-quality movies, I think customers will be willing to pay.
Do they have to do another one soon, another increase?
So what they've done right now is a U.S. price increase. They might slowly extend that to some of their overseas markets, although I think they're going to phase that out much more carefully and cautiously, but it's definitely on the cards.
Okay, now to pay for that content we're talking about, just raising the subscription fee, that's not enough. You got to go to the markets. You got to raise money other ways, right?
And they have. That's exactly what they've done, because, as you know, they are a free cash flow negative company. They have about $3 billion is what they've projected in terms of free cash flow loss, both for 2018 and 2019. So they have gone to the debt markets from time to time. They have about $12 billion in debt. But just the fact that they've been able to raise prices, that they've been able to come up with some really good subscriber momentum, I think gives a lot of confidence to investors.
Okay, so they can still use that avenue. That's not going to be closed off to them anytime soon.
Absolutely not. I definitely think they have that available.
Subscriber growth, I guess, is the key. As long as you have subscriber growth, none of that other stuff matters. That's also an argument that AOL used to make, by the way. So, could you weigh in on that a bit?
Absolutely. So quarter in and quarter out, we've seen for Netflix that the first number investors look at are subscriber metrics. They've had some pretty good momentum coming off of Q3. They've guided to some record numbers for Q4. And I think just with the high-quality content slate that they had in Q4, as well as, you know, some sleeper hits, which include Bird Box, I think we're going to see a blowout quarter.
The profitability, how elusive is that? You talked about the cash burn. What is that again this year and next?
It's they projected about $3 to $4 billion, both for 2018 and 2019. But they have been kind of shifting the narrative a little bit away from subscribers towards profitability. So I think over the long term, this is going to be a profitable business. It already is profitable in the United States. They've had, some lower profitability numbers when it comes to international markets. But I think as they ramp up and they gain scale, I think over the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to see a fairly substantial profit margin.
Okay. What's the first thing you look at in the earnings report? Real quick, about 10 seconds.
So definitely, the 4Q subscriber metrics, and I think guidance for 1Q is going to be fairly critical as well.
Geetha, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Geetha Raghunathan. Again, we get earnings from Netflix after the close of regular trading in New York today. Geetha from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers access this function at BIGO. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, John. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. This is Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks overseas are falling as tensions rise between America and China. And once again, it involves Huawei technologies. We get more from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The federal investigation in Seattle is tied to civil suits filed against Huawei, including a 2017 case in which the world's second largest smartphone maker was found liable for the theft of T-Mobile's robotic technology. Sources say the investigation is at an advanced stage and an indictment could come soon. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Tom, thank you. Meanwhile, China's chief trade negotiators headed back to the U.S. for the next round of talks. Beijing confirms Vice Premier Liu He will be in the U.S. January 30th when negotiations resume.
We have breaking news from OPEC right now. Oil production from the group tumbled the most in nearly 2 years in December, coming in at just 751,000 barrels a day. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down 1.3% on 71 cents at $51.60 a barrel. Brent is down 1.1% at $60.65.
And bank earnings continue today with Morgan Stanley reporting before the opening bell. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the bank's full-year results should meet its pre-tax margin goal, and fourth-quarter results should show trading outperforming with a business more skewed toward equities than most of its global peers, UBS being a notable exception. Forecasts are for Morgan Stanley to post an adjusted profit of 89 cents a share on revenue of more than $9.3 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Jeff. And after the closing bell, we get earnings from American Express and Netflix.
In Europe, shares of Société Générale are down 3%. France's third-largest bank said earnings will be hurt by the, quote, challenging environment in global capital markets.
British Prime Minister Theresa May has survived a no-confidence vote. Now she has to search for a compromise with Parliament to deliver a Brexit deal. The vote on her Plan B is set for January 29th.
Shares of Apple down nearly 1%. Bloomberg News has learned the company will cut back on hiring after selling fewer iPhones than expected and missing its revenue forecast for the holiday quarter. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 7 points. Dow futures down 53. NASDAQ futures down 25. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.71%, and the yield on the two-year, 2.53%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New House Democrats stood outside Senator Mitch McConnell's office calling on the majority leader to take a vote on the government shutdown. The House has voted on bills regarding the shutdown, but the Senate will not until the Democrats decide to include border wall funding. Democratic Congresswoman Lauren Underwood.
Every day since we've gotten sworn in and we have been in session here in Washington, we have taken up a vote to reopen either a department, an agency, or the government writ large.
However, Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger is calling for everyone to put their pride aside.
Our inability to have this debate is an embarrassment, frankly, around the world that looks at us as this model democracy, and this is on all of us.
The shutdown is now in its 27th day. President Trump's attorney Rudy Giuliani says that he never denied that the Trump election campaign colluded with Russia during the 2016 presidential race, only that the president himself was not involved in collusion. The former New York mayor told CNN, "There is not a single bit of evidence the president of the United States committed the only crime you can commit here, conspiring with the Russians to hack the DNC. President Trump plans to announce the findings of the first missile defense review in nearly a decade today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
It includes a plan to study capabilities such as space-based interceptors and directed energy weapons. The president will go to the Pentagon, where he will make a case for additional funding to ask for missile defense monies. As we've reported, the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency released a report this week saying China is developing a long-range bomber capable of delivering nuclear weapons to the U.S., and the president is expected to make the case that a space-based defense system will be the most effective against potential China and Russia attacks. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New Jersey Transit has apparently made a December 31st deadline to install emergency braking software ordered by Congress, but the race to finish took away staff from routine duties, delaying promised service improvements. NJ Transit says a number of vehicles are sidelined as a result of a need to finish the multi-year positive train control project. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Nets were once 8-18. Since then, 15-5. They've reached 500, a sign of how good a team they have become. On an off night for top scorer D'Angelo Russell, his backup, Spencer Dinwiddie, took over in Houston. The Nets trailed by 8. With just over a minute to play, Dinwiddie hit 3 threes in the last 30 seconds, got the game to overtime. Again, the Nets trailed by 7. They came back. They stunned the Rockets. 145-142. Dinwiddie, 33 points, 25 coming in the fourth quarter in the OT. The Nets coach, Kenny Atkinson.
Great basketball game. Great basketball team. Again, you know, two teams fighting. Played their hearts out. We just made one more play than they did. But it was, I think we were down 12, 13 points with under 4. So for our guys to stick with it, and we got contributions from everybody.
James Harden, two nights after scoring 57 points, scored 58. The Rockets, in the loss, set an NBA record. They took 70 three-point shots. In London today, it's the Knicks and the Washington Wizards. Game tips at 3 o'clock. St. John's ended a two-game losing streak, 81-66 over Creighton. Serena Williams just won her second-round match at the Australian Open. The AFC Championship game Sunday night in Kansas City is expected to be played in sub-zero temperatures. Bundle up, Tom Brady.
Weather's a factor anytime you play in January. You know, Kansas City, obviously a cold climate. They're used to it. And we've been practicing it for the last 2 months. It hasn't been extreme cold, but it's been cold enough to know, you know, what you got to wear and, you know, how you got to deal with it the best way you can. You know, you just dress for it and, you know, hopefully our blood's thickened up enough here being in the Northeast to deal with some of the cold, which I think it has.
Patriots and Chiefs in the AFC after the Rams and Saints in the NFC. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. And with the new Congress getting down to business, new Democratic members of the House are expected to look at more the intersection of race and the environment as they get down to work. Nancy Lyons has more on that from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Until now, environmental justice advocates have focused on the industrial impacts on disadvantaged communities.
It was mainly focused on the issue of locating
factories and other polluting facilities right next to communities of color or low-income communities.
But Bloomberg Environment's David Schultz says now they're looking at climate justice.
Communities of color and low-income communities are less able to cope with natural disasters, would be more affected by food shortages or resource shortages.
Two dozen of the new House members are people of color and will be pushing for a comprehensive climate bill. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Nancy, thank you. It is 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. This year's prescription drug price hikes were lower than in years past, but still high enough to hurt patients and strengthen resolve in Washington to push back. A good way for Congress to start is by boosting competition by stopping brand-name drug makers from improperly extending their patent protection. Another strategy is to enable Americans to buy drugs from other countries where prices are half or less those in the U.S. And then there is the Trump administration's promising proposal to benchmark the prices of some Medicare drugs against those in other countries. Any number of other strategies would be worth bipartisan consideration. Every effort will require that Congress and the White House stand together against pressure from the pharmaceutical industry. There has never been a better moment to try. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
How much protection of the environment can Americans count on from President Trump's nominee to lead the Environmental Protection Agency? Republicans at Andrew Wheeler's confirmation hearing were lavish in their praise. Senator John Barrasso heads the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee.
What a wealth of experience and expertise he's going to bring to this critically important job.
But Wheeler drew tough questions from Democrats over his earlier job as a coal industry lobbyist and criticism for the regulatory rollbacks he's made in 6 months as the agency's acting administrator. He told Senator Bernie Sanders he believes climate change is real.
Do you agree with the scientific community that climate change is a global crisis?
I would not call it the greatest crisis, no, sir. I consider it a huge issue that has to be addressed globally.
Wheeler said carbon emissions have spiked briefly thanks to economic growth, but are going down again because of new rules. Democrats insisted the improvement would be greater if he hadn't rolled back Obama administration measures. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Thanks, Bob. Morning Call's coming up. It's brought to you by Columbia Bank. Yield Plus Checking from Columbia Bank takes the stable growth of a high-rate CD and combines it with the freedom of a checking account. Visit a branch today or ColumbiaBankOnline.com. Count on Columbia.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning are lower. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 67 points, S&P's drop 8.5, and NASDAQ futures decline by 27. Oil is trading lower, and the U.S. 10-year yield at 2.71%. Asia markets were mixed overnight, while European markets are trading lower this morning, led by losses in the UK. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Philly Fed and initial jobs claims. And after the bell last night, Alcoa beat estimates. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Morgan Stanley to report around 7 a.m. In other news, Cars.com said they are exploring alternatives, including a potential sale. And Barclays said that utility PG&E could remain in bankruptcy for at least 3 to 4 years. Wrapping things up, Electronic Arts was downgraded to hold over at Jefferies, and Eastman Chemical raised to overweight at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, it is day 27 of the government shutdown, and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is telling President Trump, if there's no money for workers, there's not enough workers to provide security for your State of the Union address. However, Homeland Security officials say they are fully prepared to do their job
and allies of the president say this is nothing more than about politics. It is day four of a teacher strike in Los Angeles. Educators are demanding lower class sizes, increased staffing, and higher salaries. The teachers union and the school district plan to return to the bargaining table today. In sports in the NBA, the Nets won in overtime against the Rockets 145-142. The Celtics and Warriors were winners. In the NHL, the Bruins lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, hip-hop star Snoop Dogg is getting in on FinTech. Snoop will promote the online payments services of Sweden's Klarna Bank. In a YouTube video, Snoop is renamed Smooth Dogg. Oh. reference to Klarna's aim to enable to what now? Smooth payments. Oh. Nathan Forbes reports that Smooth Dogg invested in the startup.
Thank you for this, Michael. Well, you know, if you work Snoop Dogg into a newscast, it has to be a good day.
And he also hosted The Joker's Wild.
That's true. He still is. That's true. That is smooth.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, along with Mr. Dog. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
The always smooth Michael Barr. Thank you so much. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's check what's going on in D.C. As Michael mentioned, it is day 27 of the partial government shutdown. Today, the House plans to vote on a bill that would reopen agencies through the end of next month. That's after lawmakers passed a bill that would give the shuttered agencies enough funds through February 8th. President Trump, for his part today, will be heading to the Pentagon later this morning, where he's expected to make the case for a new missile defense plan. Also making news this morning, the quiet cooperator in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me now. And this is a story from our White House reporter Shannon Petty piece on Rick Gates. Haven't heard much about him in recent weeks, Kate.
No, we haven't heard that much about him. And in a lot of ways, reading Shannon's piece, it seems like he may end up being sort of the sleeper key witness in this whole investigation, from the standpoint that he's still cooperating with Manafort. He's still cooperating with Mueller, the special prosecutor. Too many M names. The special prosecutors told a federal judge this week. And so it seems as though Gates may be able to provide some key information, because unlike Manafort, he stayed very involved in the Trump campaign, up through the election and then also beyond. I mean, and there's been reporting now that he actually met, for instance, in April of 2017 with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin for dinner and, stayed in close contact with the administration even after that. And so it seems as though he may have key information about pivotal moments in the Trump campaign that he's perhaps giving to Mueller, and who knows where that will lead.
And just to remind listeners, Rick Gates is the former longtime deputy to former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, who has been providing a lot more cooperation in the Mueller investigation than Manafort has, who's pleaded not guilty repeatedly to the charges that Mueller has brought in the case. But talk a little bit more about Gates's involvement in the administration, because President Trump, as Manafort had faced mounting legal difficulties, had said, Manafort was only part of my campaign for, just a couple of months.
That's right. We saw the Trump administration really trying to distance themselves, as you say, from Manafort, once those indictments came down. Of course, Manafort was his campaign chairman during a very critical part of the campaign. But Gates, as you mentioned, was on for a lot longer, and then also did keep up that contact once Trump was elected and through the transition and into the beginning parts of Trump's term, right up until, the point at which the indictments were handed down. So I think that the sense is that that could have made him just more directly privy to a lot of key decision making and that sort of thing, from his perch, being close to the Trump campaign. And so I think there's a sense that he, while he hasn't necessarily been as headline grabbing as as Manafort over the past couple months, that he could end up being a very, very key witness in Mueller's probe.
All right, we'll move on to another M making news this morning. Michael Cohen, in a Wall Street Journal piece about the lengths that President Trump's former lawyer has gone over the last few years on behalf of his former client.
Yeah, so this is an interesting report coming out of the Wall Street Journal. It talked about, essentially they're reporting that Michael Cohen hired a polling firm, essentially, and it was involved in poll rigging and essentially stiffed the polling firm out of $50,000 that he owed them. And I think the sense is that this could be yet another thing that might be at the center of questions when Cohen comes to testify before the before Congress next month. He's due to testify in early February before Congress. And so I think there's a sense that that could be a big topic of conversation, one more thing for members of Congress to ask him about.
Yeah, that'll be coming up in just a couple of weeks here. And interesting to note in this report in the Wall Street Journal, this polling firm has pretty strong ties to the evangelical community and one of President Trump's closest allies in that community, Liberty University President Jerry Falwell Jr.
Yeah, and that's an interesting tie as well, as you note. And so I think that, again, this all kind of shows it all kind of helps build the case in the court of public opinion, as well as, with the legal case, that there was fishy things going on during the Trump campaign. And so I think this is another kind of brick in that wall that Mueller and other prosecutors are attempting to build.
All as the government shutdown continues over a potential border wall with Mexico. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, as always, so much to keep track of. Thanks so much for being here. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It is 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Nancy Pelosi went on the offensive Wednesday by postponing Donald Trump's State of the Union speech and even suggesting that Trump might want to just submit it in writing. There's little question that the speaker knows how to negotiate and how to fight. A larger point, however, is just how topsy-turvy this entire shutdown has been. Closing the government has been Trump's idea from the beginning. Trouble is, Trump and other Republicans who want the shutdown should also want it to be painful, and they should be emphasizing how terrible the consequences of a closed government can be. Instead, Democrats are the ones constantly emphasizing the effects, while Trump and his administration are downplaying them. But if they are correct, then why should Democrats feel any pressure? In other words, it's still hard to see how this ends well for the president. He should be looking for the least harmful escape path, but so far it's not even clear he realizes he's played himself into an impossible position. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Karen?
Thanks, Nathan. 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. A substantial majority of small law firms in Boston have been approached in the past year about a combination. This according to a new survey from a legal industry consulting firm. The survey of local managing partners and firm leaders and reported in the Boston Business Journal finds 71% of local firm leaders had engaged in such a discussion over that time frame. Zighauser Group conducted the survey, which polled about 37 managing partners and senior leaders of Boston firms that ranged in size from 10 to 200 lawyers. The combination talk comes mostly from outside firms that want to gain a foothold in the city. According to the survey, the local firms are doing pretty well. 97% of the respondents say they're optimistic about their own firms. That's just about the highest for any city in the country. Lawyers in Boston are seeing success. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures are down 9 points. Dow futures down 70. NASDAQ futures down about 27. 10-year Treasury up 2/32. The yield 2.71%. And the yield on the 2 years at 2.53%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 80 cents at $51.50 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little change this morning. We're looking out for earnings from Morgan Stanley due out in just minutes from now. We'll have all the details on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. Along with Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.